So the cash flow quadrant is about the E, the employee, the S, the self-employed. And what we're talking about is the B quadrant, the business owner quadrant. And the other quadrant is the I quadrant, or the investor quadrant. And so if you get the book, you may have begin to understand that a person who is in the B quadrant is very different than somebody in the E and the S quadrant and the I quadrant. And they're all different. The reality is all four can make it if they first understand who they are as far as where they start from and what they want to become also in their development. So I think what Diane is saying is the biggest mistake that people make is they ask people who are E's and S's about becoming a B. And I think that's where they get the bad advice.
That's very true. In fact, I grew up in Oregon. And one of the stories that I like to tell is I was near the Oregon coast where there's a lot of crabs. People go out and get the Dungeness crabs. And when you catch crabs, you can put a bunch of them in a box that's only about 6 inches high on the edge. And the reason is, I mean, obviously you're thinking, well, can't they just climb out? They can't, because the other crabs will keep pulling them back into the box. Now, that's what happens frequently when you're asking somebody who's an employee, how can I start a business? That challenges them. They don't have any experience in that. They need to pull you back to the E.
Right, because the employee's highest priority is the security of a paycheck. And when you talk about going to start a business, their fear of not having that paycheck, or what we call delayed gratification, which is emotional intelligence, kicks in at that point. It was, oh my God, what happens if you don't get paid? What happens if you fail? What happens if you don't make it? Comes in, and it's emotional thinking versus technical or rational thinking.
I'm really glad you brought up that point of delayed gratification. There was a study done that was in The Great Reckoning, a wonderful book that I recommend. And the study was of all countries throughout the world. And this research group went out and looked at the rich and the poor in these countries and tried to determine what was it that made the difference between the person who was rich and the person who was poor. And they were thinking, well, it's education, it's family, it's the values they were raised, or the amount of money they inherited. None of those things were true. What the case was, the rich, or the people on the way to becoming rich, had the ability to delay gratification. The people that needed to spend and have gratification right away, they were poor, or they were on the way to being poor.
Right, they have to have it right now, so they buy it on credit card. Or if you look at it, with my problem with overeating a lot of the times is I can't go on a diet because I want to eat that cookie now, and I don't want to wait 3 weeks for that cookie. And so it's we all have these. I'm not saying anybody's above these problems, but they're fundamental emotional problems. And there's a great book called Emotional Intelligence written by a man named Daniel Goleman, G-O-L-E-M-A-N, that anybody interested in making those changes, the changes are actually emotional more than technical. The changes are going from employee to business owner, self-employed to business owner. The changes are emotional.
Right. And the whole idea, too, of delayed gratification, we see that in people that inherit money. The average wealth, after it's inherited, lasts 18 months. That means that what one person took an entire lifetime to accumulate, the heir, on average, goes through in 18 months. Because they didn't build it. They don't understand that concept of the delaying gratification. They need it now.
Right.
And somehow they think because they inherited it, it's their money, and so that gives them the right to spend as if they were rich.
Right, and we've all heard stories of lottery winners who not only lose it all, they get further and further in debt, even though they won millions of dollars. It's simply because they don't know how to manage their money very well. If we could go back really quickly, first, number one, is to figure out where you are financially. Number two is decide to not get another part-time job, but start a part-time business. And three is your friends. So kind of tying all this together is, if you're going to make this switch, what kind of businesses can you start? I think that's really a good, what kind of part-time business, you know, are there available to people who are still with a full-time job? Do you have any suggestions on that?
Well, you know, in Jackie's case, we talked about that. And, you know, obviously she tried to talk to her mother and she tried to talk to her neighbor, the wrong people. As a suggestion, you might try brainstorming this with people who have been successful in this. In her case, though, she worked as a secretary. Some possibilities were she could freelance her services. She was very good at typing letters. There's a lot of home-based businesses. She could type letters for them.
Or she could set up a secretarial service for other small, for other S's who couldn't afford a secretary.
Right. Some other possibilities are daycare or elder care on the weekends, cleaning houses or businesses, or getting into an already existing system, such as a multi-level marketing system, which has a distribution and system already in place. Interesting point on that, Robert. When I talked to her about that, because I happen to be a real proponent of multi-level marketing because there's a proven way of selling the product and the system already. She reacted. She wasn't going to sell because that's something she would never think of doing.
And I see that all the time also. My rich dad, when I was getting out of the Marine Corps and deciding my life's path, he said, everybody starts as an employee if you don't have any money, if you don't inherit it. But he says, don't do anything just for the money. Do it for what you learn. And so he recommended I get a job with a Xerox Corporation or IBM simply because they're the best sales training programs. So one of the big keys of being a business owner, is your ability to sell or to communicate and to market. In the early stages of a business, it is your sales ability or your communication ability, either to the other employees or to your suppliers or to your customers or to your banker, that really make you successful. And people have this reaction against sales. And I think that's a very limiting reaction, because what my rich dad said to me years ago, there's only one place money comes from, and that comes from somebody else. So if you can't talk to somebody else about them giving you some money, either for in exchange for products or services, in other words, selling, then you're very limited. And that goes back to emotional intelligence again. If you can't sell, you really are very, very limited. You look at the best, the most influential people on earth, actually salespeople or storytellers and all this. Look at Christ, Buddha, Muhammad, all these guys. They were great communicators. Look at, you know, of all guys, Clinton. He's as much the trouble as he gets, and he's still a great communicator. So the reason I recommend multi-level marketing to people is not necessarily for the money you make, but you would choose a multi-level marketing company for the sales training they put you through. And if you don't want to do that and you're still afraid of sales, then there's Dale Carnegie or there's other institutions that will teach you sales and marketing. So one of the keys to being successful as a B, especially a B, is your ability to sell, i.e. or to communicate, to say to somebody else, this is what I want you to do for me, or this is how much money I want you to pay for me. If you cannot do that, then she has to stay as an E at that point, playing it safe, you know, just working for whatever money they'll pay her, because that's all she's willing to accept at that moment. So the most important thing about multi-level, and also franchising, is the training that they'll put you through. Because that training to learn sales and marketing, very important skills in the B quadrant.
Yeah, it's to add on to that, even if she decided she wanted to do the typing, the secretarial services at home base, she still would have to know how to market those services. Because regardless of what the movie says, if you build it, they will come, doesn't work. You have to be able to communicate. But the interesting part is that everybody already knows how to sell at some level. She has a job. Obviously, she went in there and was able to market herself enough that she got a job. She's had many circumstances where she's had to already do that. It's just a case of expanding the skill that's in there already, that's in all of us.
That's very well said. It's more expanding your skill base rather than your product base. I meet so many people who come to me and say, I have a great product, or they find a friend who has a great product to sell, and say, what do you think? I say, well, the product's great, but your skills are terrible. And they go, no, it's a great product. So they focus on a great product constantly. And for those of you who've heard me speak before, you look at McDonald's. Most of us can make a better product than McDonald's. Most of us can make a better hamburger than McDonald's. But very few of us have the skills to build an organization as big as McDonald's is. So instead of focusing on your product, focus on your skills, which include bookkeeping, accounting, sales and marketing, communicating with human beings, leadership, etc. The product is only as good as the skills behind the product. As a CPA, Diane, isn't it true that being an employee, there's very little you can do for them tax strategy-wise?
Well, there's absolutely no tax strategies available. And that was the problem that we had in our story that we're talking about. Jackie, she had no ability to change anything, and she was paying 50% of her money in taxes.
Yeah, and when I hear people say, you know, oh, the rule of wealth is pay yourself first, the problem with being an employee is you can't do that, not in America at least, and not in most Western nations. You can't pay yourself first because in America it was a 1943 act, was the current tax payment act that said that the government shall get paid first before you get paid first. So that's the E quadrant. So a CPA cannot help somebody in the E quadrant. That's why it's very important at this time, instead of getting a part-time job, start a part-time business. And please don't quit your daytime job, and don't brag to your boss that you're doing this, because that's not what he or she wants to hear. Your next move is either to the S quadrant, self-employed, or to the B quadrant. And at that point, a CPA can begin to help you in writing off some of your expenses. So, Diane, what are some of those expenses that you can start writing off, either from the S quadrant or the B quadrant?
Well, I know in the case of Jackie, we're going to talk about that on the third tape where we walk through this, but she had a computer that she just bought for a teenager who needed it for school. That was a business write-off. She had a portion of her house, so the rent that she was paying became a write-off. Her car was a write-off.
The gasoline and insurance.
The gasoline and insurance, the medical insurance, all of her medical bills. In fact, she was able to start getting massages on a monthly basis that were a write-off. That's what we're going to learn about in this tape three, and that's where I get a lot of my excitement.
That is your most important tax strategy, is number one, change the form of the income, which means get out of the E quadrant and go to the B or S quadrant, and from there then change the form of your taxes or what you pay taxes on. Is that what you're saying?
It's exactly true, and it's really important that everyone hear this, that you have to start with a legitimate business to make this all work.
Right. Please don't do it to avoid taxes, because that's against the law, or that's really kind of stupid, because it doesn't last that long.
Right. And secondly, don't quit the day job until this is working. I mean, in the case of Jackie, she has two children at home. She has no backup. So the business is something she starts part-time, and it's going to grow slower because of that. Well, that's where delaying gratification comes in. But she's immediately getting the tax benefit, and her overall taxes, even what's withheld from her job, are reduced because of this legitimate business that she's doing. So she's going to have more money in her pocket and the same lifestyle.
Right. So even if it's part-time business, there's a lot you can do for her, but you couldn't do for it if she got a part-time job. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly true. The part-time job is just more on the same line with more taxes taken out.
Right. And one of the big mistakes, going back to taxes, that most people don't understand, in America they say, oh, I don't have to worry. I can write off my house. So what many accountants will tell you is work harder, get a higher paying job, that buy a bigger house, because that's one way of avoiding taxes. But as a CPA, that's not exactly accurate, is it?
You know, that's an incredible myth that's still floating around, and I see all the time. You know, I have clients that suddenly jump from, say, $100,000 a year to $500,000 a year income. And so they went and bought a
bigger house.
A bigger house. Well, there's a provision in the tax code that as your income gets higher, you lose that deduction. That shocks them at year end, because they thought this bigger house was going to save them money, and now it's just another expense.
In other words, let's say they're writing off $20,000 a year in taxes. The moment they pass this $124,500, something like that, some amount, but the higher income you get, then you start having less of a tax write-off. So the problem with working harder and buying a bigger house and earning more money is the more you make, the less of a write-off you get from your interest. And so it becomes this trap for the people in the E quadrant. And that's why I recommend the book is called the Cash Flow Quadrant, is really understand that you need to be in more quadrants than just one, especially in the information age today.
You know, and Robert, a great example, going back to this house, if you were making $500,000 through your business, you could still write off your house. And that's part of what we're going to talk about on tape three, is through a business, not all things are possible, but a whole lot more than are possible when you're an employee.
Right. As a lot of people say, how come you have so many cars? Is the reason is because I have so many businesses. And, you know, there's things called sales incentives, like my wristwatch is a sales incentive. It's not something my wife bought me for a gift with after-tax dollars. Sales incentives are pre-tax dollars. So we're going to go into that in the next tape, because that's where there's really a lot of fun. And I have a great time, because many of the things I bought with pre-tax dollars, or there was money before the government takes 50% of it, so I actually have much more. And what you said about the computer is really, really true, is I'm constantly upgrading my computers, but it's actually costing me less money, even though I make much more money than the average employee. The government gives me an incentive to buy bigger computers, and they let me do it with a pre-tax dollar, but if you're an employee, they actually punish you for buying that computer for yourself to get ahead. So it really is a matter of switching the quadrant, which is the type of income you have, and then once you can do that, you can change the characteristics of the taxes you pay. And that's your message, isn't it?
That's absolutely true. And then the third part of this, first is, again, you have to know where you are, and we're going to walk you through how to do that in the second tape. Secondly, you have to have a business. And third is...
Your friends have to be understanding you, what you're doing.
Right. Friends influence us a lot. And we're not telling you to go out and drop all your friends and get new friends. But you might want to think about expanding your circle to include some people who have been successful in business, who are going to give you the encouragement and mentoring that you'll need as you go through these stages.
Right. And for me as a young boy, Rich Dad Poor Dad was about when I was 9 years old, and it was really tough. My poor dad always said, you got to get good grades so you can get a safe, secure job so you can work your way up the corporate ladder or the government ladder. And my rich dad said, that's ridiculous. Start your own business and become an investor. And the real passive income, which the rich focus on, which are the least taxed dollars. And that is a shift in ideas. Let's go back quickly to skills, because this is something I hear often. And I go back on skills again, because a lot of people say, I got a great product, but they have lousy skills. And your product is only as good as your skills. And in fact, many people sell lousy product, but they have great skills. And I think we really, if you're going to go to the B quadrant or the S quadrant, you really do need some fundamental skills that are not necessarily taught in school. And one of the biggest mistakes I hear S's and B's say is, I'm going to let my accountant handle the books. And as an accountant, why would you say that's not that bright an idea?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. One is, the accountant is generally doing things after the fact, maybe even just once a year. So if there's a problem, there's no way you can correct it. That problem happened a year ago.
Thank you for saying that, because most accountants have a historical point of view. In other words, they're looking backwards, not forward.
Right. Secondly, if you are trusting an accountant to do your books and a financial planner to do your financial plan, well, you've got to question, where are they going? If their employees are in that type of mentality, that's where they're going to take you too. So just like the friends who are trying to keep you in the same quadrant, so will your advisors. But the true way to make sure you're on the right path is to make sure you're the one who's running the show, who's in control.
And that's going back again to friends and my book, Cashflow Quadrant. Most people get financial advice from people who are in the E quadrant or the S quadrant, i.e., most accountants are either E's or S's. Bankers are definitely E's. Real estate brokers are generally S's, but they're not B's and I's. And so that's what you really be careful about, who you get information from. As a person who is, my rich dad taught me to operate in the B and the I quadrant. And one of the things he taught me to do was to budget wisely, which is why cash flow management becomes ultra important. Most people, their highest priority, and many accountants are, to make sure all the bills are paid. But as a business owner, I must spend today to generate more money tomorrow. In other words, a business owner must have a forward viewpoint on business. So many times I'll be doing something in January, so I'll have the money in December to do something the next January. So there's a forward budgeting forecast. For instance, in one of my businesses right now, we're budgeting $1 million so that we can have $10 million next year. So we need to spend $1 million this year. And many of my accountants go, oh, where are you going to get the money from? Where are you going to get the money from? The reason is because their viewpoint is historical. They don't see the forward end of it. So one of the major shifts a person needs to make in going to the B quadrant especially is how to spend money wisely so you move forward on it. Most people who are what I call the bill payers and savers of life, they don't make good B's is because they're looking backwards all the time. So when a person who is a B has their accountant take over, the company often plateaus out or actually diminishes in size. They choke the business off because the accountant will not spend the money to go forward. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And the bottom line, too, is you're the one who built whatever business it is, or your own financial story. You're the one who's created that. So an outside advisor might be able to help you choose different decisions, but they can't really tell you what your story is. You use the example that that the financial statement has a story in it. And the question really to ask ourselves is, what story do our numbers tell us? We're really the only ones who can answer that.
Right. If you can't read the numbers, you can't. It's like there's word literacy and financial literacy and word illiteracy and financial illiteracy.
Right. And that's what this tape series is. The second tape is going to deal with is the financial literacy, how to do your own financial statement and start building that financial literacy. Additionally, I want to highly recommend the game Cash Flow, because that teaches you and ingrains that skill of financial literacy.
In a game where you're having some kind of fun, and I know the first few times you play it's a little bit difficult. It's like learning to ride a bicycle. But after a while, it becomes secondary and easy, right?
Right. And the thing that's, again, the analogy is, that is a board game. Well, money is a game. And so that's why the second tape, we're calling it a scorecard, because this is just like playing a game. You're at some point. It doesn't mean you're a winner or a loser. You're just at some point. And where do you want to go from here?
Right. And that's a very important skill in becoming a B, is cash flow management. And most people, the reason they don't get ahead is because they learn to pay bills and save money, but they don't learn to manage your money to go forward on. And if I could reiterate something also while we're on this, so that's a major skill, and sales and marketing are major skills for the B's and the I's of life. And that's why we recommend either Dale Carnegie or a network marketing company or a franchise organization that will train you in the skills, going over the fear of rejection. And, you know, because I had to go through that. I hated being rejected. I hated having somebody saying no. But if you stop, then the answer is always no to you financially. So that's the reason that it's the skill that you have to learn to become a business owner that is initially the hard part of the business. Business is not hard if you have the skills.
The other interesting thing that's about this is in the story of Jackie, you know, the first step she did is first find out where she is, secondly, realize she needed to have a business and start thinking about that, and third, realize the friends she needed to have around her. You know, all of those changes had nothing about going out and getting a job. They didn't have anything about going and immediately getting cash. Those changes all began within her.
Well said, because I hear so many people say, oh, it takes money to make money and all this other, or I don't have a good education. Well, most people who go off on that path of the B, they don't have any money either, and they don't have the education. It is on-the-job training or on-the-quadrant training, the B quadrant versus the E quadrant.
And to summarize all of this, then, the three key points again. One, know where you are. Secondly, you need to have a business. And third, to choose your friends and advisors.
And then get the skills for the direction you want to go for the next phase of your life.
Right.
And that's what Jackie started to do. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. We're going to follow her story through some more. Tape 2 and 3 of this series are very exciting. We're going to additionally add some skill levels. But first, I want to thank everybody for listening through this first tape and to give you some validation for this. Most people wouldn't even have gotten this far. What we're talking about is making some changes within yourself so that you can grow. And there's answers that are different than they might have heard through school. So thank you for listening and congratulations.